We begin the current daf in the Sefer Baba Basra daf Chof. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara introduced a halacha from Shmuel, which will be apparent shortly why how it relates to the halacha of our Mishnah, that he said that although there's halacha of what's known as Tumas Oil, that there are certain things that transmit Tumah when it's in the same overhang as another thing, like by a mess, however, regarding if there's a chatzitza, if there's a separation from that and another house, let's say there's a wall separating between them, even though they have the same roof that's covering them, it will separate, it will be a chaitzitz, it will be mechitz, it will separate. But if there's a hole between the two homes, the size of a tefach, then that allows the tumah to go from one home to the next. However, if one plugs it up with something, then it stops it. And that said, Shmuel, if one has a rekik, a thin wafer that's there in the wall, since ultimately he's going to end up taking it because he's going to eat the wafer and he's not going to be mevatel of it, not nullified there. Therefore, it's not considered as if it's plugging up the hole, and even though it's literally there now, the tumah will still go from one home to the next. That was Shmuel's halacha, which essentially his concept is that if anything has utility, you're not going to leave it there, and therefore we don't view it as part of the, as stopping up the hole, plugging it up, and therefore it's not going to be chaitzitz. And that Gemara continues asking on Shmuel from different Tanoic sources. The Gemara is from the following Brisa. A seven shetulashon v'nichin bechalon. Regarding grass that was torn out from the ground and was put into this window, we call this hole between the two homes, this window. Oisha olam alein bechalon is, or it grew by itself in the window, that now it's in the window space between the two homes. Or umatlein yeshe'im ben shalash ha-shalash, or rags of cloth that are not at least 3x3, and therefore it's not makabel tumah, or va'iver va'habasar hamadudalim, or a limb or flesh that's hanging, where it's still attached a little bit, but it's hanging, bebehema ubechaya, regarding a domesticated animal or a wild animal. Now, the animal is standing right by the window, and the limb is there on the in the window space, which the Mishnah teaches us, Masechtas Chumnaf, Kof Chav Tesim and Aleph, that It does contract Tumas Eichlin in its place. It could have Tumas Eichlin because it is a food item, because ultimately it's going to fall off and it will be consumed. But it still needs Heksha, has to be prepared, and here it wasn't prepared. It has to come in contact with one of the seven liquids. It has to have something that designates it able to be Mekabel Tumah, and here it's not. Therefore, all these things that we're discussing here are things that are going to be Echaitzitz. So it has to be something that it itself cannot contract tumah, because anything that's makabel tumah cannot stop tumah from going further. So to v'ayv sheshochin mechaloin, or bird that landed there in the window, or v'ayv kachav mashiach mechaloin, or a non-Jew that's sitting there in the window. Again, he's not makabel tumah. Or uven shmein hamunah mechaloin, or an eight-month-old baby that's in the window, because an eight-month-old baby in Talmudic times, unlike a nine-month a term baby or a 7 month term baby, is like considered like a rock, meaning he's not alive but he's not dead. Or vahamelach, or salt, which is not makabel tumah because it's not a food item in its own right. Or vikliheris, or earthenware vessel, where that the back of it is facing towards the house that has the dead person inside of it, and the kliheris then could be a mafsik, it could be a chaitzis, because it only contracts tumah from its inside, not from its outside. Or if I say the Torah, if there's a Torah scroll there, kulam emayt mechalein. All these things, as we'll explain, first of all, they're not makabel tumah, and moreover, they are things which are going to be asked on Shmuel regarding if seemingly they have utility. But since it's not makabel tumah, if they're there in the window space, they diminish the area of the window, and therefore, if it makes it less than a tefach, it will be chaitzis. The tumah will not go to the other house. Aval, however, hashelik regarding snow, v'habarid and hail, v'aglid and frost, v'kfar and ice, v'mayim and water, although we're talking about things here that they themselves are not makabel tumah, but since they dissolve by themselves, and water too, even if you're holding in the vessel, when you take the vessel away, it just drips down, so kulun eim emayitim mechalein. All these items would not diminish the area of a window, and therefore, even though now it's taking up space, we're still going to view it as if it's not there, and if there's a tefach without it, the tumah will go from one to the next. That's the brisa. On that, as the Gemara and Shmuel, going through from item to item in this brisa, seemingly difficult on Shmuel. But grass is fit for the animal to eat. So therefore, even though the grass is there now in the window, ultimately he's going to take it, And still we see from the Braisa, even though he's going to ultimately take it, but now that it's there, it diminishes the space of the window to make it a chaitzis from the Tumah, which refutes Shmuel. Because Shmuel's halacha is based on the principle that anything that you're ultimately going to take, like the wafer, is not going to be mafsik and chaitzis, even though it's there for now, because ultimately you'll take it. It's not considered bottle and part of the wall. So therefore, how do we understand the halacha of the grass? Yeah, it's there now, but ultimately you're going to take it for the animal. So nothing more answers ba'afrazosa. And that's what it has to do for all these questions, to show that, no, for to answer Vishmul, that these are items that are never going to be taken away, and therefore they're considered bottles of the wall. We're here by the grass is talking about a type of grass that is poisonous for an animal. And therefore, he's not going to take it to feed it to his animal. So we're going to continue to the next case. Next case was Isha Olum Alein. Or the grass wasn't pulled out and put into the window. It actually grew by itself, and it's there growing by the wall. And it's taking up space in that hole. And that has the Gemara, Kibin the Kashru L'Kaisel, since this grass is harmful for the wall, why is it harmful? And this is actually why, as Tosfos had mentioned in the previous daf, the Gemara introduced this halacha of Shmuel over here, because it's related to the halacha of our mission that we said that Zrayim, planting, and that's the halacha of the neighbors, that you have to plant three tefachim away, because seeds, they soften the earth, the wall, the foundation, and it makes it crumble. So therefore, if you have grass that's growing over there by the wall, it's harmful for the wall. So shakalahu. So ultimately, the owner of the wall will take the grass away. And even so, even though he's ultimately going to take it away, for now that the grass is there, you see it diminishes the airspace of the window, which is not like Shmuel, who said anytime you can ultimately take it away, it's not considered bottle to take up space to make a chatzitza, to make an interposition from the two homes. Adam a rabbi. Rabbi says, because l'churva, we're talking about the wall of a churva, of a house that's demolished. In other words, it is a separation because there's the wall there, and if it takes some space, fine, but we're not concerned about the wall crumbling that's going to harm it because it's anyways a churva, it's anyways a demolished home. So therefore, it's not concerned, and therefore he will leave the grass there. Now, Papa gives a different interpretation. This is a fellow b'kaisel yishuv. You could even say it's talking about by an inhabited wall, that it's a wall that they need. Now, so aren't you going to take away the grass because it's going to harm the wall? And that says Rav Papa Beboin Chutz L'Shleishu. It's talking about where that the grass is coming from a distant place, three tefachim away from the wall, and it's going up lichaloin where the top of the grass goes up into the window. So it's growing. So it's not, you're not going to take away the grass because it's not growing. The seeds are not from within the area of three tefachim. It's just that it grows and it goes up to the window. That's how it's taking up the space. And since you're going to leave it, it is going to block up the whole of the tefach. So Gemara continues asking on Shmuel. Matloinius, one of the cases was that if you have a rag that's smaller than three tefachim, which is not makabel tuma, if it's there, it will be mafsik. And that has to Gemara, but chazile likreya de levusha. But a person will ultimately take it away because even the small swath of cloth is useful for making patches out of it when there's a tear in the garment. So you're not going to leave it there. You'll ultimately take it. It shouldn't be bottle. Says the Gemara, no besmicht, it's talking about where it's a very thick piece of cloth. It's not useful for using it even as a patch for a garment. So the Gemara says, but chazil umna, but it's still fit for the blood letters where they use it they need a piece of cloth to wipe the area of the wound. So it does have utility, so he is going to take it away. Says the Gemara, no beriska, we're talking about where it's made out of sackcloth, where that would hurt the wound because it's very abrasive, and therefore that doesn't have utility even for a blood letter. And therefore you're going to leave it there. That is the Gemara, Iberiska, but if you're talking about sackcloth, well then why does the Braisa say She'im ben Shalash al Shalash, that as long as this matloinius, this small rag of cloth, is if it's less than 3x3, then it's talk that the 3x3 tefachim, then it's not gonna be makabel tuma. But She'im ben Arba al Arba mibayli. But then if you're telling me that it's talking about a sackcloth, as the Mishnahis teach us elsewhere, that and this is a Mishnah Masechtas Kalim, that depending on the type of fabric that it is, it has different measurements of what's considered a beged to be makabel tuma. Less than that, it's not makabel tuma. And sackcloth, actually, the minimum is 4x4. So why does it say 3x3? That would be by regular cloth. But if it's sackcloth, as you're answering, then should it be allowed to be even up to less than 4x4? So Zigmar, you're right. No, it's not about sackcloth. It means ke'ein risk, like a sackcloth. It's talking about a cloth, which is the max is 3x3, because once it's 3x3, then it's already makabel tuma and it cannot be mafsik. But it's talking about something like the same type of quality, like a sackcloth, where therefore there's no utility for it, even for a blood letter, because it would be hurt the wound, and therefore he's going to leave it there, and therefore it's not difficult on Shmuel. So Gemara continues asking. The Braisa says, "Va'aver va'abaster hamadudalim behema b'chayit," regarding a limb or flesh that's hanging from an animal, a wild animal, and it's there taking up the space of the window, that is mafsik. On that, has to get more. But Arkav Azla, what do you mean? The animal itself will get up and run away. So it's not something that's going to ultimately stay there. How is it mafsik for now that the tumah doesn't go from one house to the next, which is not like Shmuel? So it's the Gemara, but sure, it's talking about where the animal's tied down over there, so it can't run away. But the owner will slaughter it, so he could use its meat. So the Gemara, but tomato, talking about a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara says, okay, but mazmal l'nachis, it's also a non-Jew who could have non-kosher. So the Gemara, but kosher, talking about a very weak and deficient animal where no one's going to buy it for its meat. So the Gemara says, but pasik shad de la l'klovim. But what do you mean? He'll just cut off that limb and he'll throw it to the dogs because this is already a cut off limb, so he's not going to keep it there, even though it's tied down. Since there's pain for a living animal to just cut off its limb, but he's not going to do that, and therefore he will leave it there. And since the animal's tied there, it's never going to go away. It'll stay exactly where it is, and therefore it's not difficult on Shmuel. The Gemara continues to the next case. He said, or if a bird just rested there in the window, so then that also takes up space. On that, but it's going to go up and fly away. So that's not like Shmuel, even though it's there right now, but ultimately it's going to leave. It's not bottle. Says Zimmer B'kosher, talking about where the bird is tied down. Zimmer says Rashachle, but he's going to slaughter it. And that says Zimmer B'tami, talking about a non-kosher bird. And that says Zimmer B'mazim L'Nach, he'll sell to a non-Jew. Says Zimmer B'klonisa is talking about a type of bird called Klonisa, which is very thin and it's not fit for anyone to use for its meat. And therefore, he's not going to sell it to a non-Jew because no one's going to buy such a bird for its meat. And that says Zimmer B'yavlili Nukab, he'll give it to a child. People like for pets, they want birds. Says the Gemara, no, but Misart, it's talking about a type of bird that scratches. No one wants such a bird as a pet. So the Gemara says, but Klanisa le Misarta. You said it's a Klanisa, so no one needs it for its meat, but a Klanisa doesn't scratch. Says the Gemara, no, Kein Klanisa. Meaning, it's a very, that has no meat, like a Klanisa, but it's a different bird, which is like that, that it has no meat, and it's a bird that scratches. So no one's going to buy it, neither for its meat, and neither for a bird, because it scratches. So again, no one's going to buy it, and it's staying there, because it's tied down, and therefore, it's not difficult on Shmuel. Then the Braisa said, if there's a non-Jew sitting in the window, he takes up space. So I think, what do you mean? So although he's not Mekabel Tuma, but Koy Vazel, he's going to get up and leave. So even though he's there now, has a mastic according to Shmuel. So the Gemara B'kafis, he's tied down. But says the Gemara, Asichavri Sharli, but ultimately someone's going to come along, his friend, and on time. So at some point he's going to get out. Shmuel said if at any point it's going to be taken away, it's not bottle. Says the Gemara, no, but Mitzayra. Talking about a person that has Taras, has some type of leprosy where no one's going near him, therefore no one's going to on time. But says the Gemara, Asi Mitzayra Chavri Sharli, he's not the only Mitzayra in the world. Another Mitzayra will come in on time. And therefore ultimately he will get out. Ella rather says the Gemara, Bechavushe Malchus, where the government, the king tied him down. There no one's going to disobey the law, and therefore no one's going to untie him. And therefore he's going to stay there, and therefore for the indefinite time he's going to be there. Therefore we say that he's going to be mavsik in the blocking up the hole. Then the Braisa said, "Uven shmeina munach b'chaloin," or if an 8-month-old term baby was there in the window, so such a child is going to take up the space. And he's not mekabel tuma because he's not considered like a live human, full-fledged human being as a Jewish person. And that is the Gemara, but Asi Ime Dariyale, but what do you mean? His mother's going to come up, pick him up. And therefore, since he's ultimately not going to stay there, therefore he shouldn't be a mafsik. So it's Gemara, but Shabbos, talking about on Shabbos. The time like learned the Braisa, that Ben Shmoyin Harei Ko'evin, in Halacha, an 8-month-old child, since he's not a viable child, is considered like a rock. Fasal Tatla B'Shabbos, just like a rock and not move on Shabbos, has no utility, so to this 8-month-old child is not allowed to be moved, and therefore since no one's allowed to move him, he's considered a chatzitza there in the window, because the only one's going to move him is his mother, and his mother not allowed to because she's a Jewess. Now, Aval, but one thing the Braisa does say is that Imai Seicha Alav Umanikasa, but the mother's allowed to bend over to the child and nurse him, and they ask him because of the danger to the mother, to the child, was dangerous for the mother, for the milk. It's building up, and therefore she's allowed to, but again, to move him, you're not allowed to, and therefore, since he's not Mekabel Tumah, and he's not going to be moved because it's Shabbos, he is going to be a Chaitzitz, and it will block, it will take up the space. The Braisa said, Melach, or if salt is there, salt will also block up the hole. On that, I say, but according to Shmuel, Chazile, it has utility. And therefore, someone ultimately will one day need some salt on his mashed potatoes, and he's going to take it because it has utility. It therefore should not be considered batel to be chatzitza. So the Gemara no b'mirut, we're talking about where it's bitter salt, where no one has utility for it, and therefore it's going to stay there. And that is the Gemara b'chazi la'iris. It's still fit for using for the hides, where it's part of the processing of the tanning of the leather of the animal, where even bitter salt has utility. So the Gemara no de'is b'kaitzi, where there's thorns in the salt, and therefore whoever would want to use it would scrape up their hands, even for using for the hide, no one's going to take it. Now, that the Gemara asks, keeping the kashla kaisel, but since salt is harmful for the wall, which is another halacha we had learned in our Mishnah, which was that you have to keep salt 3 tefachim away from the neighbor's wall because or else it's harmful for the wall. So shaka, for that reason itself, the person is going to end up taking it, and therefore it shouldn't be allowed to be chatzitza because it's not going to stay there forever. So the Gemara no diyas v'chaspa, it's talking about that the salt's sitting on a shard of earthenware, so it's not touching the actual wall itself, it's not going to harm the wall, and therefore you will keep it there. No, on that the Gemara has been the chaspa gufa teichos. Then the shard itself should be considered the chatzitza and to take up the space of the tefach. Why do you need the salt then to be used as the chatzitza? And that's what the Gemara, as we continue to be, is the les ba'shi'ura. That the shard doesn't have the requisite measurement to be considered something significant, and therefore we view it as if it's not even there. Kid did not like learn the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos that talks about the halachas of Haitzah and Shabbos regarding the 39th malacha of transporting something from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbos, which is forbidden. But it needs to have a minimum measurement for being considered a significant thing, whatever that item is. So regarding cheres, regarding earthenware, the Mishnah there describes what's considered an earthenware shard that's considered significant, and if not, we don't almost don't view it as if it's there. Is kedelitin bein patzim lechaveri, is to be able to put that shard between one slat of the window shades of the other shade, meaning that they would have these vertical slats in the window by the wall, and they would distance each one from the other, the in the width of the window, where they wanted that you should be able to have the light come in between these slats. Now, they would put into the wall on the top and on the bottom a piece of earthenware that was the width of the gap that they wanted between the slats, and then they would plaster it on with clay. Now, the earthenware was thick, and it would hold the slats like one would use with a piece of rock. That's the minimum measurement of being considered a piece of earthenware that if someone carried it on Shabbos would be considered Haitzah. So what we're talking about over here is that the salt is on top of the piece of earthenware that's not even that measurement. And therefore the halacha, we don't even view it as if it's a significant item. It's as if it's not there. The only thing that we do consider significant is the salt. And therefore the salt will be taking up the space and will block the whole of the tefach. But again, you're not going to take it away because it's not on the wall, because it is ultimately on something else, a piece of earthenware. Next case the Braisa spoke of was kli cheres, if there's an earthenware vessel. On that, as the Gemara and Shmuel b'chazile, earthenware vessel, it has utility, and if you're not going to leave it over there. And therefore, even though it's there now, it should not be considered chatzitza. So the Gemara de mitana, if it's somewhere where it's dirty, and if it's dirty, no one has utility for it. And that's the Gemara b'chazile umna, fit for a bloodletter who he just needs a receptacle to put the blood in, but no one needs to use it. You could even use even a dirty receptacle. So the Gemara deminkov that it has a hole in it too, so it's no utility. It's going to drip through the hole. It's going to make his whole house full of blood. So therefore, there's no utility, and you're going to leave it over there, and therefore it's chaitzes. The Braisa then says, Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll. Says the Gemara, b'chaz l'mikra, it has utility. It's fit to read from. Says the Gemara, number ball is talking about where it's worn out, where it's you can't even use it to read from, and therefore that's considered chatzitza. And that is the Gemara, but v'bayi geniza. What do you mean? For a different reason, you're not going to leave it over there because it has to be buried, and therefore you're going to remove it to bury, and therefore it shouldn't be considered chatzitza. So the Gemara Shum Teheginizasa, let that place be its burial. It's staying there forever. That's considered its burial, and therefore you're not going to take it away, and therefore it is considered chaitzes. And therefore this brice is not difficult on the halacha of Shmuel. Again, we introduced it because it relates to the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, continuing on a related discussion regarding this topic about salt and how it relates to a wall. So in the Gemara says, Amar Rav. Rav says, this is Bakal Oisin Mechitza. A person can make a wall out of anything, which Rabbeinu Gershom says applies whether to halachos of Shabbos, where you need to have mechitzas to consider something as a different domain, or regarding the halachos of Tuma, as we were speaking about the halach of Shmuel, to separate between one area and another, that the Tuma should not spread out. chutz mi melech v'ravav. Except you cannot make a wall out of salt and out of grease. Salt because it'll disperse. It's not considered a real barrier. And grease is because it melts when it gets hot, and therefore we don't consider it as a stable item as if it's a barrier. Now Shmuel Amar, he says afilu melech, says no, even salt you could use to make a wall out of it. Now Amar Papa, he says v'lei pli. Actually, they're not disagreeing. Ha b'melech sedaimish. Shmuel that said that salt could be a wall is talking about what's called melech sedaimish, sedaim salt, which is thick and hard like a rock. That type of salt could be used as a wall. Ha b'melech is tereiknis. Rav was talking about regular salt, which is very thin, and you can't make a real wall out of it because it's just going to fall and crumble apart. Now, says the Gemara, v'hashadam, Rabbi Benadad, Rabbi said the following halacha, that oisa adam shnei tzibur melech, a person can make two piles of salt that are 10 tefachim high near the opening of a mavoi. A mavoi needs to have shetufim, a voice that all the parts of the members of the mavoi chip in and shear something together. Moreover, by the entryway of the mavoi, which one could picture like a dead end opening up to the Rishos HaRabim, one has to make a beam that goes from one end of the mavoi to the other end, meaning by the entryway. So Rabbi said that a person can make two piles of salt, umanichlim kari, and they can put a beam on top of these two piles. Shahamelech mamendes is a kari. The reason for that is because the salt will support the beam. Vakari mamendes is a melech, and the beam will support the piles of salt. I mean, usually salt's a problem because it gets dispersed, but here the beam that's holding it down will keep it in place. So says the Gemara, based on this halach of Rabba, afilu melech is tereiknis v'loy pligi. We could even say that both Rav and Shmuel are both talking about the regular thin type of salt, and still they're not disagreeing. Because ha de'ikah kaira. Shmuel that said that the pile of salt will be considered mechitzah is tumat, that there's a beam on top of it. So the beam will keep it in place, and if it will not be dispersed, so it is a proper mechitzah. Ha de'ikah kaira. Rav is tumat that there's no beam, and therefore then the salt cannot be considered a wall, because one wind comes and the whole wall is done, and since there's no beam, so therefore it's not considered a valid mechitzah. Now the Mishnah then said, continuing on this theme of the previous halachas of the Mishnah, is marchikin es rechayim, you have to distance a mill from your friend's wall, the neighbor's wall, gimel min hashechev, three tefachim from the bottom part of the mill, shenar ba min harechev v'chula, which are four tefachim from the upper part of the mill. Now, my timer, ask the Gemara, what's the reason why you have to distance the mill from the neighbor's wall? It would seem, mishum tiria, because of the shaking that the mill causes, that shaking could harm the neighbor's wall. On that, as the Gemara Batani will learn the Braisa, that the Braisa says Vishal Chamer, and that a mill that's run with a donkey, Shleisha Min Es Tereibel, you have to distance three tefachim from the lower part of that mill, which is inside the wooden cover, Shinar Bam Min Akelis, which is four tefachim from the upper part, which is the actual part that does the grinding, that similar type of as the mill which is describing in our Mishnah, where the bottom part is wider, and therefore from that only three tefachim, the upper part is narrower, so it's going to be four tefachim from that part to the neighbor's wall. On that as the Gemara, hasa maitiriyek, but by the mill that's run with the donkey, what type of shaking is there? It's a very small and light mill, and the ground doesn't shake when you do the turning around of the grinding. So why would that be a problem? If you're saying the whole problem of mill is because it shakes the wall, here it doesn't shake. Ella rather says the Gemara Mishum Kala. Rather, some say that meaning it's the sound of the leading of the donkey, where there's a lot of noise that is being screamed, that is going to be harmful. And some say it's actually the sound of the grinding, which that's a very loud noise. That noise is what's harmful, not the shaking of the ground so much, but rather as the noise, that's going to be the harmful element of the mill. Now the Mishnah concluded Besataner, and also regarding an oven. Shleisha min akal, you have to distance three tefachim from the lower part, which is wider, and therefore three tefachim from that part. Sheinar ba min asafa, which is, it gets narrow as it goes up, four tefachim from the edge on the top, which is narrow, and therefore it's going to be four tefachim from that to the neighbor's wall. Now Amar Abaye says, Shema mino, what we just infer from this halach is that kalya detan tefach, that the kalya is going to be a tefach smaller than the wider part on the bottom. So Zigamara, Nafkamina, the difference is Lemekach Memker for purchases and sales, which is if someone buys an oven from someone else, and there's not a difference of a tefach from the wider part on the bottom till the edge of where it narrows up on the top, that means to say it didn't have the appropriate dimensions of an oven, like we see in our Mishnah, that it's going to be three tefachim from the bottom and four tefachim from the top part of this kalya. Now the Gemara continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding someone that even though he's doing something in his own private property, still has to consider and regarding the damage that it could cause to his neighbors. So the Mishnah tells us, Lo yamar adam tana b'teich habayis. A person is not allowed to put an oven in his house. Elam kein yesh al gabav, unless he has on top space, air space, of a goiva arba amas, of a height of 4 amas from the opening of the oven until his ceiling, so that the heat and the fire doesn't catch on to the ceiling, which could cause a fire, and then the whole neighborhood is going to be in danger. Now, if he put it into a second story house, then then he needs to have underneath the oven a layer of plaster on his ground of shleisha tefachim, a 3 tefach plaster, so that it shouldn't burn, make a fire in his floor, which is the ceiling of the guy downstairs. But moreover, is that the floor is made out of wood, in contrast if you're on the ground floor in Talmudic times, that was earth, that wasn't such a concern. And of course, also he has to have 4 amas on top of his oven for the ceiling. Ubekira tefach. And regarding a kira, which is also an earthenware type of an oven, but it's smaller and you don't make such a large fire like we make in our ovens, which are not such a big fire. And it's turned over on its empty space, and that's you put inside the food and cook over there. So there, you only need to have a tefach of layer of plaster on the ground. You don't need 3 tefachim like you need by a tanner. Now, continues the Mishnah, Vimhizik. Now, if after the person does all these measurements, he has the inspector of halacha to say, okay, it's 4 amas on the top, it's a second story, has 3 tefachim plaster on the bottom. And let's say after all those precautions that the Mishnah tells us, it still causes damage, and the damage is a fire that ravages through the neighborhood. Mishal Masha Hizik, he has to pay what he caused damage. Now, in spite of that, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that still the neighbors could make him distance with all these required measurements, that because maybe there's going to be a fire and he's not going to have what to pay. In other words, if he has to pay anyway, so why do I have to do all these distances? I don't have to pay anyway. On that, they say, no, maybe you're not going to have what to pay. You have to do all these precautions. If it's going to happen anyway, you're going to have to pay anyway. But you can't do it unless you take these precautions that the Mishnah says. Whereas Reb Shimon, he disagrees. He says, no. We didn't say all these measurements of the Mishnah to say, okay, you have 4 amas there and you have 3 tefachim on the bottom. Only that if it does cause damage, that he's exempt from paying because he's annoying. It's beyond his control. It's not something that he caused. He went through all the precautions. If he didn't do all the precautions and then there's a fire, then it's a liability. But says Reb Shimon, if he took all the precautions the Mishnah tells us and there's damages, he's exempt from the damages. Another related halacha is, Lo yiftach adam chanush shel nachtoimim v'shel tzabon. A person is not allowed to open up a store of a bakery or of where they dye, where they have these vats where they dye all the colors of the dye. Tachas etzarei shel chaveri. If on the second story, his friend has a storehouse of wine and wheat and he has all that storehouse, you're not allowed to make a store on the bottom which has all this fumes and smoke, which is going to harm this guy's silo, this guy's where he has all his grain over there. And v'lei refes bakar, so too he's not allowed to make a barn for cattle underneath because of the odor that's going to be. It's going to cause no one's going to want to buy this wheat because it smells from animal. Now, emes, but in truth, said the Mishnah, that bayayin, if the guy on the second story had a storehouse of wine, there he too, there they did allow the guy on the first floor to open up a store of a bakery or of dyers because actually smoke is not harmful for the wine. To the contrary, we know there's something called smoky wine. It's actually not harmful. Avoloi refes bakar. But definitely, you're not allowed to make a barn for cattle because that odor is going to be harmful for the wine. And that you can't do even by, if he has on the second story, a place for where he has stores his wine. Now, the Gemara asked regarding the halacha of, we said if you put an oven on the second story, so we said that you have to have beneath it a layer of plaster for a taner of 3 tefachim and for a kira of 1 tefach. And that is the Gemara B'Tanya in the Braisa, B'Taner Arba'a, that for an oven on the second story, you need to have a layer of plaster beneath it, 4 tefachim, not like our Mishnah said 3 tefachim, Ubekira Shleisha, and by this smaller type of stove, you need to have 3 tefachim, and not like our Mishnah who said you only need to have a tefach. Some Abaye says not difficult. Kitanya Hi, when we learned that Braisa, which was more stringent, was Toma B'dinach Toimen. Toma, the ovens of bakers, who they're constantly firing up ovens, and so through the Kira is Toma, the Kira of Nach Toimen. Then you need to have, for those huge fires, and they're always on fire, you need to have a thicker layer of plaster, 4 tefachim for a Taner, and 3 for a Kira. Where the Taner didan, however, our ovens, which the Tanya, the Mishnah said you only need to have 3 tefachim, is Kikira D'Nach Toimen Dami, which is similar to the Kira of bakers. which is, just like over there, you only need three tefachim, so too by our tanurim, you only need three tefachim, and by our kiris, you only need one tefach, because they're smaller, and they're not as used, as intensified as the ovens of the bakers. Now the Mishnah said also, lo yiftach hanus b'chulu, you're not allowed to open up a store for a bakery or dyeing underneath the guy's storehouse, because the smoke is going to ruin his stuff on the second story. Now, however, Tanu learned the Brisa that says, "Emaisa refes kodemus la'itza." But if the barn was opened up before the guy opened up his storehouse on the second story, then mutter. Then he's allowed to maintain his barn because he came first. Now, regarding the halacha, Abaya asked, "Kibud v'ripitz." Let's say that the guy in the second story already cleared away and he swept up his roof la'itza for the purposes of making a storehouse. No, but he didn't get a chance yet to bring in all his grain before his neighbor on the first floor opened up his store beneath him. So that asks Abaye, what's the halacha? Is it like the guy in the first store opened up his barn before the Eitzer? Because ultimately the guy didn't have his grain in there before he opened up his barn. Or maybe that since he already swept and cleaned out the whole area, it's obvious that he's preparing it for a storehouse, and therefore it shouldn't be considered like he came before the storehouse. Another question. Let's say the guy in the second story made a lot of windows on his second story where he reveals his intention, obviously, that he's making it into a storehouse because that's the type of element that needs to have a lot of air, a lot of ventilation that the produce shouldn't get ruined. Mao, what's halacha over there? Again, is it like obvious that the storehouse is already open and therefore the guy can't bring his barn? Or maybe no, he never brought in your produce. If he quickly opens up the barn, it's like he got there before him and he could keep it open. Now the next question, the Bach says, and it's obvious from the Girsa of Rashi that he doesn't have this question, but our Girsa has it that Achsadra Tachas Ha'itzurma, what's halacha regarding a pavilion that's beneath the storehouse, that's between the first story and the second story where the Eitzur is being made? What's the halacha if there's a pavilion there? Would that be considered as a hefsik, and therefore that the elements on the first story, whether it be the odor or whether it be the smoke, would not be harmful? Would that be allowed to not be a problem? Another question Abai asks, Bana Aliyah al-Gabi Basak. Let's say the guy on the second story builds another height, another story on top of his roof. Now, what was customary in Talmudic times was that anyone that would build another building on top of his second story apartment would be doing it there as a storehouse to store stuff over there. So what's Aloha in that case? As Rashi explains, If you're going to say that by just making windows, that's not considered that the storehouse got there before the guy on the first floor made his barn, but what's the halacha if you made an entire structure, you built a whole new addition, extension, on as if you're making a third floor, which is obvious that you're doing it for an eitzer, would that be considered that enough that he proved that he's making a storehouse and that it got there before the barn? Or would say, no, you didn't bring in your produce, and therefore the barn, if he does it first, would be allowed to keep his barn, even though it's under the Eitzer? So the Gemara take it, let it stand. It's not clear regarding all these questions if they're considered not a problem for making the barn or the bakery or the dyer place underneath the storehouse. Bai Rav Huna B'Rei Yeshua, he asks a similar question. He says, Tamar V'Rimayni. Let's say the guy in the second story who made the storehouse already brought in pomegranates and dates. Mai, what's the halacha? Do we say that's the beginning of his storehouse? Or do we say that no, the halacha of a storehouse, which is harmful from the elements in the first story, is only by grain or wine and oil. Here we only brought in other types of fruits which don't have the designation of the problem of Eitzer, will not make it into Eitzer or not. So the Gemara takes it, let it stand, it's not clear what the halacha be in those cases where it's not yet, you started, you're storing stuff there, but not those things which are harmful, which is that where the halacha applies to, if that would be considered the Eitzer came first or not. Now the Mishnah concluded and said that be'emes, in truth, be'yayin hitiru v'chulu. Regarding wine, they permitted to make a bakery or a dyer's place beneath the storehouse of wine. Now Tanu Lent Abraisa, the reason for that is because be'yayin hitiru, by wine they permitted, memnei shemashbicha, because actually the smoke makes the wine better. But v'lei refes bakar, but in contrast to if in the first story he's making a barn, memnei shemashbicha, because the odor spoils and rots the wine, that would be forbidden even if the second story is a wine storehouse. Now, however, Amar Rav Yosef, he contrasts, he says, however, Haydi Dan, our wine, afilu kutra de shraga, even the smoke that comes just out of a candle, namikashli, is also harmful, and therefore the permissibility would not apply to our wine, because any smoke, even just from a candle, is harmful for our delicate wines. Now, Amrav Sheshes, he says another halach, he says vaspasta, which is called shachas of the grain, which is in its early stage, a type of animal fodder, kerefes bakar damya. If one has on his first story this aspasta, it's the same as if you're making a barn for cattle. The reason why that is because since it's moist and it gets hot, and then the stench goes up to the second story, therefore it's going to be just as harmful as a barn, and therefore you're not allowed to make that on the first story. Again, if the friend already has on the second story an oitzer of tefuah already there beforehand. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous, where if someone does something in his own property, but it's related to the social, it's going to cause harm to people in your direct vicinity, that there are certain halachim and halachic regulations and limitations that you're allowed to do. So the Mishnah tells us, Chanusha b'chatz, regarding a store that someone has in the common courtyard, Yochel limchiz b'yad b'loim aloi. So the neighbors could protest and tell him, I can't sleep because people are constantly coming in and going out. They could protest about him opening up a store in their courtyard. Now, Aval Oisek Kalim, but the Mishnah says he's allowed to make utensils, and Yetsu Moichet B'Teich HaShuk, and he could go out and sell them. Not by, you're right, the neighbors could complain about people coming in, consumers to buy, but he's allowed to go out and open up a store of production of Kalim in the common courtyard, and he can go out and sell it out in the marketplace. And the neighbor cannot protest and tell him that I can't sleep, not because of the banging of the hammer, not because of the noise of the mill, not because of the noise of the children, which the Gemara assumes, which is going to be the Gemara's first question, that it means the children who are coming in to buy the wine and the oil or whatever sold in the store, that they cannot complain about. So although he's going out to sell in the marketplace, but regarding the kids that come in to buy, he can't say, oh, I can't sleep, you're banging and you're clopping and the children, that he can't complain about. But regarding consumers and customers, that he could complain about. That is the Gemara. Maishna Reisha, what's the difference between the first halacha of the Mishnah that said that he could tell him, oh, I can't sleep because all the customers are coming in and out, and for that he could protest. So Maishna Seifa. So why is the Seifa any different that he cannot tell him I can't sleep because all the children are coming into the neighborhood, into the common courtyard, where their houses open up to the courtyard, and this guy has a store over there, why there can they not complain? So that on Abaye, he says, Seifa asoin l'chatz aches. Is it right? The Seifa is talking about where you cannot complain. He's talking about where it's another courtyard. The neighboring courtyard, all the children are making so much noise that the neighboring courtyard hears the noise, that he cannot complain. That's the halacha, that the Seifa, that he can't complain. On that on Rava says to Abaye, but if it's talking about a different courtyard, then why didn't the Mishnah just say another courtyard is permitted? Why say that he can't complain about the children? Say, because another courtyard, no matter who's coming in over there. Elam Rava, rather, Rabbi says a different interpretation. As we continue in Tabo Chof Alf Manaf, he says, Seifa son l'tinoike shel besrabim. The Seifa that says you can't complain even about other people from different neighborhoods coming into the courtyard, which in the ratio we said you could complain about other people that don't belong in this courtyard coming to buy, here it's talking about school children. So although they're from different neighborhoods, the neighbor from this courtyard cannot protest because umitakon is Yeshub ben Gamla ve'elech. We're talking about from the institution of Yeshub ben Gamla and onward. Well, he was one of the Kanam Gedolim that was in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, as Gemara says, Masechet Yevamos. As we'll continue on the next daf, where he instituted that school children should have special schools introduced for them. And therefore, a person who is a school teacher, who is not going to go schlep somewhere else, could open up a yeshiva in his neighborhood and have school children, even though they're from different neighborhoods, come into the common courtyard, and one of the neighbors cannot protest.